Welcome, everybody. Let's get focused. We're going to have the message now. I meant to share earlier concerning praises. I saw Randy Allen this week, and concerning we had prayed for him. His foot was in danger of being amputated the past year, and we prayed for him, and we prayed God would bring his foot back to life, and God answered that prayer. So I saw him again this week. He goes, Dave, my foot keeps getting better. I have feeling in my toes now for the first time in like 2 years. I can move my big toe. I've got feeling back in my calf muscle. I haven't had any feeling in my calf muscle. So just very excited to share that. And they were actually able to get settled in a new place. Some of you know about that. So they're just like walking distance from here up on the hill. They're still trying to unpack and get squared away. So I just wanted to share the good news with everybody. Today, we're going to talk a little bit more about the subject of healing. So what happened with Randy is a good example for us. So let's pray together, and then I'll get started. Father God, I want to thank you that you're alive, that Jesus is risen from the dead, as we were singing earlier. And Father, I thank you that your kingdom still comes on earth as it is in heaven. We thank you for healing Randy. Father, we pray that more people would get healed. We pray there'd be healings on a regular basis. There'd be people coming to faith in Jesus on a regular basis. And Father, we pray that you would keep working in us so we could be a part of that happening. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to start with a little review. Last week, I made a statement that this is what Christians generally think of. When you think of being saved, what do you think of? You think, well, Jesus died on the cross so that when I die, I can do what? Get to heaven, all right? But the first point on your outline today is Jesus also came so that heaven might get into us while we live. Do you believe that? Yes, okay. That's the essence of being born again or born of God's Spirit, that God's Spirit comes to live within you, that heaven comes into us. That is a very powerful way to think. And so I want us, as followers of Christ, to think that way. I want us to think that God can use me to help bring the kingdom of heaven on earth today. Does that sound good? All right. So that's your second fill-in. I want you to write me in capital letters. God wants to use me. He can bring heaven on earth. All right? So let's just think about this a little bit. So do we believe Adam Wertheimer could lay hands on somebody at school who was sick and they could get better? Well, wow, that was good. How about Jerry Jellison? Okay. How about Sue Ellen? Can God use Sue Ellen to do that? Yes. Okay, yeah, I mean, we believe that. And so we just have to, like, kind of get ourselves filled with faith in the truth of God so that when those opportunities come, we respond. And there's a chance to share about Jesus. How about Sammy Gefkin? Yes. Could God use him to, like, lead somebody to Jesus? Sure, of course. It's the gospel that has power. The truth has power to change people. And if we can speak the truth and get over our fears and worries. I just was with someone recently, a friend of mine, and I have to confess that I'm thinking, like, this guy is really tough to talk to. So I can't say I was looking forward to it, because I've talked to him before, and it's just very, very hard. So what do I have to do when I'm in that situation? I have to remind myself, it's not me, Lord, okay? You can touch him. Do you know what I mean? It's not too hard for you. But when I'm feeling like it's me, and what do I say, and how can I get through that, I tend to get discouraged. And so I have to, like, get my mind on the Lord again and say, like, well, hey, you can do something. And I actually didn't get to talk to him that much, but I then had to meet another friend of mine. And I found out that he's joining a church, an inner-city black church in Roxbury. I was like, whoa! I mean, so it's too long a story to get into now. But I was really happy. I thought, wow, God is at work. So this is not a church-going guy, do you know what I mean? It's just like a totally radical kind of thing that's happening to him. back to bringing heaven on earth. There's a guy named Bill Johnson. He has a church out in, I think, Redding, California. God's really using this man to teach people how to pray for the sick, how to believe that God can use them in everyday life to bring his kingdom on earth. And so I gave some of you a book called When Heaven Invades Earth. If you haven't started reading it, I encourage you to read it. I read the first four chapters a couple weeks ago. Very inspiring. I'm like, yes, this is exactly the kind of truth and practice that we want to have as a church. So the next point I want to make, number three, is that Jesus, this is one of the points in the book, performed his miracles as a man, not God. Now that might not seem like super important, but I think it is. The next point, Jesus chose to live here on earth with our own limitations. Does that make sense? Okay. So let's look at actually Philippians chapter 2. You can turn there, or I've got part of it from the Living Bible on your sheet. So while Jesus, you know, was 100% God, he limited himself. He came here to live on earth. He did signs and healings, not as a God the Son, but as a man who was in right relationship with God. Now let's look at Philippians 2. I'm going to read it first from the New American Standard. Have this attitude in yourselves, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, although he existed in the form of God, or the NIV says he was in very nature God, he did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself, taking the form of a bondservant and being made in the likeness of men. Being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. For this reason also, God highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name which is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, say this with me, every knee will bow of those who are in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and that every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. This is an inspiring passage. Some Bible scholars think that this passage was actually a hymn that early Christians sang. It was like singing truth, just like we sing truth. So I want to really focus on this idea that Jesus was in very nature God. I like how the Living Bible says it. He said, your attitude should be the kind that was shown us by Jesus Christ, who, though he was God, did not demand and cling to his rights as God, but laid aside his mighty power and glory, taking the disguise of a slave and becoming like men. There is no one as humble as Jesus Christ, now or forever. It's kind of hard. How did God limit himself? We don't fully comprehend how that happened, but we get it. He's not walking as God per se, but he's limited himself. He was conceived in Mary. He was born as a baby, just like all of us were. We came into the world through our moms. Jesus experienced all that. So he put aside his power, his glory, and somehow he's God who became man. But as he's walking through life, he's a man. So he experiences the hardships we do, the joys we do, the sufferings. Lee reminded us that he suffered. He learned obedience through what he suffered. He was tempted, Hebrews says, in sin, just like we are, except for one thing. What? Yeah, he never gave in. So in that way, he's different from us. So when did Jesus perform his first miracle? Okay. He was born and conceived. Yeah, but when did he as a person perform? Yeah, the wedding in Cana. Okay, he turned water into wine. Okay. What happened before that? Where did Jesus, if he's limited as a man, where did Jesus actually get the power to do what he did? From the Holy Spirit. Again, that's an important point. If Jesus did what he did because he's God, then we're like, well, what hope is there for us? But if he did it as a man in a good relationship with God and empowered by the Holy Spirit, then there's hope for us, like, oh, wow, we can actually do the things that Jesus did. Does that make sense? And so that's how God wants us to think. He wants us to believe that. I put for number five, Jesus experienced our human life so that we could enjoy his what? God life or divine life or supernatural life, whatever word you want to put in there. So if we can get to a point of really believing this, that God wants supernatural life in me every day, we become powerful people. It's wonderful. We experience the abundant life that Jesus is talking about. So there's lots of things that you know, we learn from this. Paul uses Jesus' example to say, like, consider others more important than yourself. Be like Jesus. And I want to say to us today, remember that Jesus did what he did because he was empowered by the Holy Spirit, not because he was God who became a man. Let's look at a few more scriptures along these lines. In Luke chapter 4, it's commenting on Jesus, and the setting is, in Luke 3, Jesus has come to John the Baptist and said, I want you to baptize me. I want you to fulfill all righteousness, because John was reluctant to do that because he realized Jesus was greater than he was. But he baptized him in water. And again, we all know the story. What happened? The Holy Spirit descended as a dove upon Jesus, okay? And that marked a turning point. And from heaven, what did God say? This is my beloved Son, and him I am well pleased, because he walked in obedience to him. But there's an important starting point here. There's a demarcation here that something new is about to take place. Jesus is about to embark on his ministry. So in Luke, it says that Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, having been baptized in water, then baptized in the Holy Spirit, so as his followers, we get baptized in water, and then we ask God to fill us with his Holy Spirit, just like Jesus. He returned from the Jordan and was led around by the Spirit into the wilderness. What happened there? He was tempted for 40 days. He fasted. And says, then Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit. If you're looking at the scripture there, you can underline that. He returned in the power of the Spirit, and news about him spread through all the surrounding district. The power of the Spirit is how Jesus healed people. In Matthew 4, 23 to 24, it said Jesus was going through all Galilee, teaching in the synagogues, proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom, healing every kind of disease and every kind of sickness among the people. The news about him spread throughout all Syria. They brought to him all who were ill, those suffering from various diseases and pains, demoniacs, epileptics, paralytics, and he healed one or two of them. Oh, no, that's not what it says. How many did he heal? He healed them. Wow. That's so inspiring. That's what we love about Jesus, right? How many of you remember how much honor did Jesus have in his hometown? Not much. Why? Well, like, he's just like, who do you think you are? Like, at one point, even when he's healing people and, like, preaching the gospel, some people are like, well, that's just the carpenter's son. Like, I mean, like, who does he think he is? Do you get it? So, I mean, Jesus didn't go through life when he was like five, like his friends fall down and get a cut and Jesus lays hands on them and heals them. He didn't do that. He just like did what other boys did. And when he was 12, he's kind of getting this awareness that like, oh, I'm going to be in my father's house. It's somehow throughout his upbringing, he's getting the realization of who he really is and what his mission is. But it didn't start until he was empowered by the Holy Spirit. And that's good news for us, because every one of you can be empowered by the Holy Spirit. You missed a chance to say amen. Okay, thank you. Number eight, we must focus on his ability, not our inability. How many of you, when you get together, the first thing you want to say is, hey, man, you know, I just feel so empowered by the Holy Spirit this week. It's been a great week. I can't wait to talk to somebody about how good Jesus is. I hope somebody's sick at the office this week so I can pray for them. Or we say, oh, it's been such a hard week, or oh, I'm feeling so low, or oh, I'm so tired. I mean, I get tired too. I get discouraged too. But our focus tends to be on what's wrong and how weak and everything else I am. And so it takes effort to get my mind on the Lord. Okay. And say, you know what? When I'm weak, God's strong. We were singing a great song that goes great with my sermon today. Like, when we're sick, Jesus is the healer. When we're in a storm, Jesus is the calm. That's beautiful. If you can think that way tomorrow, when things get stormy at work, you'll be calmer. If you can think that way when you're feeling sick and say, Lord, just be my healer. That's how we're to live. In one place in Luke 5, it says, the power of the Lord was present to perform healing. Wow, what a great statement. So what if we began to set as our goal that somebody like Randy getting healed wasn't like a once-a-year event? What if some of us began to pray, Lord, let's see something like that happen every month, every week, I don't know. Of course, if you start praying that way, guess what God's going to do? He's going to send sick people to you to pray for, right? I mean, if you start praying that way, and you really want God to answer the prayer, then you have to be willing to be part of the answer. You can't say, oh, wow, you're really sick. Well, come with me to church on Sunday, and I'll get my pastor to pray for you. No, that's okay. They might come, but probably a lot of them won't come. So your opportunity is right there. And you might be saying, oh, my goodness, why did I, like, get myself into this? I share the story. Some of you remember, I was in a hospital one time praying for somebody from our church in Amherst, Massachusetts, and I saw this despondent-looking older couple, and I just felt I should go over and try and comfort them somehow. I said, hey, they're like, you know, what's going on? I'm a pastor. Well, their daughter had been operated on, and they'd nicked one of her arteries in her chest, and she was in a coma. And the father got so mad, he just, like, stood up and walked out of the room. And I was literally thinking, dear Lord, why did I come over and talk to them? I'm just being honest. I'm like, what have I gotten myself into? And so I just said, well, gee, to the mother, do you want me to pray for your daughter? She goes, absolutely. So we go in, and there's this woman. She just looks like she's dead asleep. She can't move. She's not blinking. So I laid hands on her. I just prayed a very simple prayer for her. And her mother said, oh, I saw her, like, move. And again, I have to be honest. I'm like, this lady's, like, a little, like, delusional. She's hoping. So I didn't have all this faith. God wasn't speaking to me. But I prayed earnestly. I mean, I prayed genuinely. I was like, Lord, please. I came back, like, sometime within the next week to visit the woman from our church again. They're there. And the lady is all smiles, and I'm like, oh, hey, how are you doing? She goes, my daughter came out of the coma, and, like, we're so happy. And I'm like, oh, wow. God, you're a lot bigger than my unbelief. I'm trying to encourage you. We don't always feel like, yes, we're up to the, I mean, I say walk with a swagger. I don't always walk with a swagger either. I feel overwhelmed, too. But God's with us even when we're feeling overwhelmed. God is with us even when we're kind of doubting and worrying. God doesn't leave. He's still with us. And so we have to press through all that. So I want you to be that kind of people. We focus on what's wrong with us. Number 9, Jesus has already taken your weakness into account. You know, God doesn't look at, like, Linus and Ed and just say, oh, my goodness, what did I do? Even I can't help these guys. You know, God never says that. But we kind of think that way. That's how we think. It's funny, but it's not funny because God doesn't want us to think that way. What were some of the last instructions that Jesus gave his disciples? Go where? Into all the world. Great. Make disciples, amen, of all the nations. We believe that. I got to Skype this past week with Matt and Becca Olson. Over in the Middle East, they're doing great. There's an older couple that's kind of like in their city now that comes and prays with them every week, and they're actually attending the same New Frontiers Church, and they feel like these people share their vision. So it's very encouraging for them because they need kind of like a team. They need a broader number of people in their city. So it was great to see them. Very happy. Keep them in your prayers. All right, so we believe in taking the gospel to the nations. What did Jesus say to do before you try and take the good news to all the nations? Wait in the city. Okay, Luke 24. I'm going to read to you Luke 24. Okay, it's important that we get this, right? Jesus said, "Thus it is written that the Christ would suffer and rise again from the dead the third day, that repentance for forgiveness of sins would be proclaimed in his name to all the nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. For behold, I am sending forth the promise of my Father upon you, but you are to stay in the city until you are clothed with power from on high." If I would paraphrase that, I would think Jesus is saying, look, guys, don't go anywhere. Don't even think about going to all the nations until you receive power from on high. I appreciate people in this church. This isn't the first time you've heard me preach this message. And I know some of you have really asked God earnestly, I want more of your power. And sometimes it just feels like it hasn't happened. And you've read the scriptures and you've prayed with faith. You've prayed with me. That discourages me too. But you know what? Let's just press on. How God works in each of our lives is different. Even how God empowered people in the book of Acts, it happened in different ways to different people. Some people, you know, they laid hands on them. Some people, just while Peter was preaching, the Holy Spirit came on them. In my own life, I shared how I was just kind of crying out to God and his presence came on me. I didn't even know what was happening to me. Because God is with you. You're born of his Spirit. So just keep praying for his power. That's a good thing to pray for. And let's not give up, okay? I'm saying this to encourage you. Let's not give up. Can we do that? Yeah. Let's encourage one another day by day. Okay, here's an illustration for us. How many of you have ever driven your car and run out of gas? I did. I did one time. Ingrid was driving. We were driving to Du Bois, Pennsylvania, and I was like, oh, yeah, I kind of leaned over. You know, I wasn't getting a good view of the gas gauge. I said, no, we'll be okay. And about 10 minutes later, we ran out of gas right in the middle of nowhere on Interstate 80. So I'm like, oh, great. Ingrid wasn't too happy with me. So I got out of the car, and I'm kind of like trying to wave people down, and nobody's stopping. So I said, Ingrid, you get out. And the kids were little, you know, like they were like 2, 4, and 6 or something. And I said, sit on the bank there. And sure enough, the next car like pulls in and says like, oh, these poor wife and kids. This nice elderly couple, they took us up to the next exit, got some gas, brought us back around. You know, it's like a half hour. It's like 5 miles up to the next exit. Then they had to go 10 miles back the other way. They were so gracious. Praise the Lord for them. The point is, when you run out of gas, your car doesn't go anywhere. Okay? So for us to do what we see in the Bible, the Holy Spirit is our gasoline. And so we need him. And without him left to ourselves, I'll pray for Randy and he'll be just as bad the next day. So we need the power of the Lord. Okay? How many of you have a lamp in your living room that you can read by? What happens if you unplug the lamp? Light goes out, okay? So without electricity, the lamp isn't on. So the Holy Spirit is our what? Our power source. He's our electricity. So what do you need to be? Plugged in. There, you just got number 10. That was easy. We have to be plugged into the power of God. It's okay to pray that way. It's like, God, I just help me plug into you today. I just want to say, I really believe God can use you. I believe that with all my heart. I'm not just preaching this. I pray for you. I believe it. I want you to believe it. I want you to be willing to take steps of faith and talk to someone or pray for them. I love what Jillian shared. You know, there's a Vietnamese woman. She's lonely, and she's worried about cancer. And so Jillian says, well, can I pray for you? And she doesn't even believe in God. But Jillian prays for her, and she comes back the next week. Hey, like, I got a good report. It's because of you. That was great. Jillian gets an A for the week. That was really great. But I mean, I just want to encourage us. You know, if you offer to pray for someone and nothing dramatic happens, you get an A. Because you tried, you stepped out. That's all we can do. You can't heal the person, but you can step out. That's your choice and that's my choice. So I want, if someone says, oh, I tried, they're discouraged, encourage them, say, do it again. Keep doing it. Don't give up. If you witness to a person one time and they don't believe, do you just give up? Say, well, I guess God doesn't want to save them. No, we keep talking to them, right? We keep sharing. We keep praying. It's that way if they need healing. It's that way if there's a difficult circumstance and there's a broken relationship. You know, somebody's thinking of getting divorced. There's all these things we have to pray for. And they require perseverance. Can we be that kind of people? Thank you. We can. I want to give you another example. Terry Virgo. A lot of you might not know Terry Virgo. Terry Virgo is the leader in the Passive New Frontiers, which is our family of churches. There's hundreds of New Frontiers churches around the world right now. In England, where New Frontiers started, Terry was the man who just got these little house groups and Bible studies, and they all grew into churches. And he just had this ability that we call apostolic to get people established in God and to get churches going. Well, Terry's in his early 70s now. About 5 or 6 years ago or so, he felt convicted that in the Bible, people who were called apostles had signs and wonders. Like they would pray for people and there would be healings. There would be supernatural things that would kind of verify what they were doing. So he said, well, Lord, I feel like I need that in my ministry. So here's a guy in his 60s. And he uses John 14. If you have a Bible, turn to John chapter 14. You probably know this verse because it's one of those verses you read and you like have trouble believing. Seriously, John 14, 12. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also, and what? Greater works than these he will do because I go to the Father. Now, why is it because I go to the Father? What's Jesus do when he goes to the Father? What do you need to get plugged into? When was the Holy Spirit sent? When Jesus went to the Father. Come on, guys. Pick it up a little bit here. Jesus had to go to the Father so he could send the Holy Spirit so you could do the greater works. That's how it goes. So Terry Virgo started praying this for himself in his 60s. And as it happened, he had a chronic back pain. His doctor had taken x-rays and said, you have back pain because one leg of yours is shorter than the other, and so you're at an angle, and because you're that way all the time, your back hurts. He went to a meeting. Some guy offered to pray for people whose legs, one leg was shorter than the other. He went up. They prayed for him. His leg got longer. He went to a soccer match that week, stood for 2 hours, no back pain. First time in years. So he started praying for people for their legs to get longer. It sounds like really kind of weird, but it's helped lots of people. So when Terry started praying, I was at a conference, so I got right up there, and I was kind of like, I like to get right in there. So I'm right next to Terry watching what he's doing, and I'm listening to him. And he's praying for these people, and so many times he quotes John 14, 12. He just says it right out loud. Lord, you said that he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also. And he's just like saying it to himself. He's reminding himself of God's truth. And now he's seeing like all kinds of like healings take place, not just like legs, but all kinds of healings are happening. I want you to imitate his faith. He was in his 60s. He could have retired, but he wanted to go further. He wanted to honor Jesus more. That's wonderful. All right, we're going to close out. We're going to look at Isaiah 53. We're going to take communion together today. Isaiah 53, if you have like a Bible or if you have your phone, why don't you turn there? Okay, get Isaiah 53 out. Verse 4 is what we're going to look at. In most Bibles, it says that he himself, this is speaking of Jesus, so it's Isaiah 53, verse 4. Speaking of Jesus, it says, he himself bore our griefs and carried our sorrows. The word for grief in Hebrew can also be translated sickness. And many places in the Bible, that's how it's translated. And the word for sorrows can be translated pains. And I found this translation, the Holman's Christian Standard Bible, that actually translates it that way. So you can read this on your sheet. It's the next to the last scripture. It says, yet he himself bore our sicknesses and carried our pains. But we in turn regarded him stricken, struck down by God, and afflicted. But he was pierced because of our transgressions, crushed because of our iniquities. The punishment for our peace was on him, and we are healed by his wounds. We all went astray like sheep. We all have turned to our own way, and the Lord has punished him for the iniquity of us all. That's beautiful. And so that's what we believe that as a church body. Jesus took our sins, but he also took our sicknesses. He carried our pains. In the New Testament, if you're wondering which is the best way to translate it, in Matthew 8:17, it's the last scripture on your sheet, Matthew quotes Isaiah 53. And there's a place where Jesus is healing everybody who's coming to him. And it says, this was to fulfill what was spoken through Isaiah the prophet. He himself took our infirmities and carried away our diseases. So I'm sharing this with you to build your faith. When we're sick, we have a reason to come to Jesus and ask him to heal us. So the last point on your outline, Jesus bore not only our sins, but also our what? Our sicknesses, our pains. And he carried our griefs as well. So those are all things that we can give to God and ask for his healing, his help, his strengthening. So I want us to learn to do that. Let's see. Steph, could you play something on the piano for us just for a little bit to give us some like background music? I want you to take the next couple of minutes . Did you get the point of today's message? Yes. Are you going to get plugged in? Are you going to try and take steps of faith? Okay, so right now, as we approach the communion table, I want you to think your griefs. Is there something you're grieving about? Pray right now. Give it to God. A sorrow. Is there something you've done wrong? We sin and we're sorrowful about it. Well, give that sin to God right now. Is there some sickness that you have? Talk to him. Ask him to come. Lord, your power, please heal us. Heal me. That's what we want to pray. Heal me today. So just whatever. Just take a moment here. And talk to the Lord. Danny, let's move this way.